With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews, and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes every Sunday wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever. Who starts today? Do I start? Hey, everybody, it's Kai. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. It's the Friday edition. Me and Molly. Well, I always like to, I don't know who, you know, producers get to decide who starts.
I'm with you.
So I'm
never on the right tab. Not one time.
That's exactly right.
Nope.
Anyway, it's Friday. Economics on tap for some of us. I should just say right here at the top that the internet was lousy at my house again today. Thank you, internet company that serves my area that I won't name, but really has been completely unacceptable. Thus, I have to drive home, so I am not drinking. But Charlton's on the other side of the studio glass here in downtown Los Angeles having a beer. He's having a Deschutes Hazy, which is really good. I can vouch for that. And there he is having a sip. You're killing me, you son of a... anyway.
That's like insult to injury, man. The internet is out.
I know.
And then you didn't even think to bring a beer.
No, I would have.
You're just being responsible.
I don't drive after consuming alcoholic beverages, yes.
That's wise.
But you're in your basement. What are you having?
I'm not driving anywhere. Exactly. I'm in my basement, and the whole coast is on fire.
It's unbelievable.
I will probably not be going outside for days.
No.
So I'm just kicking off the weekend now with this pretty large glass of tequila. That's what I'm doing.
Molly Wood drinking for both of us.
Oh, pretty heavy pour.
Lordy be.
But I put it in a cute little aperitif glass.
Yes. So that makes it okay. It's a liqueur
like
now.
Like it's less than 5 ounces. But it's not.
I'm having a glass.
It's not less than five ounces.
How much tequila are you having, Molly? I'm having a glass.
I'm having a water glass of tequila. I'm just saying it was between that and this as far as glasses go because.
Fair enough.
What the hell?
Holy cow. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I don't know. You know, so Charlie Warzel wrote a really good piece in the New York Times earlier this week as the air was getting just super bad out here. And he's in Montana now, but he had been on the East Coast. And he made the point that I completely understood when I moved here 20 years ago. You don't understand fire season in the West until you've lived through fire season in the West, you know, and how it becomes... this part of your day-to-day existence more than you can even absorb in the newspapers. And I remember somebody saying to me, oh, yeah, it's September and October, and that's the heat of the fire season. And I'm like, oh, come on, how bad can it be? And then, whoosh, and now it's so much worse 20 years later. It's crazy.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is really real. For those of you who may live somewhere else or have not been watching, I mean, if you're anywhere in the United States, our smoke is over your town, so...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've just had the weird, today's air quality, I think it's similar there. I mean, Oregon and Washington are horrific. Our air quality is well up over 300.
Yeah, we're 280 something up in the foothills at my house.
Yep.
Yeah. It's
so
it's
if you hear me coughing, it's not my huge glass of tequila.
It could be, but probably isn't.
It's a Casamigos Reposado. It's very, it's almost like a bourbon. It's real caramely.
Are you a tequila connoisseur? Oh, sorry, we're getting down a little rabbit hole here, but
I wouldn't say I'm a connoisseur, but in the last 3 or 4 years have really gotten into tequila, and a friend introduced me to Reposado, just like a sipping tequila situation. Yeah. And I was like, what? It was amazing. And of course the Batanga. Yeah. But I literally couldn't even be bothered to mix anything with anything right now. I just poured myself a big glass of tequila.
Fair enough. All right.
Delightful.
Let us do, I'm sure it is. And I'm, believe me when I tell you, there are beers in the fridge for when I get home. Should we do some news here on a Friday?
Let's do it.
In the end times? Yeah, let's do that. why don't you go first?
Oh, mine's about fire. So.
Okay.
So that's appropriate. I found this great piece in ProPublica that was actually from the end of August. And it's so interesting because I had just been having this conversation with a friend yesterday. She was like, what is the deal with fires? Like, why are our... That was just a little Seinfeld and it was an accident. sorry. She's like, "What? Why are the fires so bad? And I'm like, because we don't burn. Like, we don't, you know, and I grew up in Montana.
Right.
Because we don't burn. We don't do preventative burns. Right. And I grew up in Montana. I read Charlie Warzel's piece and I was like, uh-huh. Yep. Because, I went to a college that is renowned for its forestry school. And I was like, this is known science that preventative burning keeps fires from getting as bad as they are. And so ProPublica did this nice long read that's just infuriating. And it's about... how we there is no scientific dissent about how to prevent fires. It is all about prescribed burns and managed burns. Nobody disagrees that that is a really good way to keep fires from getting really bad, and yet it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen for a lot of reasons that have to do with like screwed up incentives around money. For example, lots of people make lots of money selling helicopters and 747s and fire retardant. Mm-hmm. Even though when you fly a 747 and you drop a load of fire retardant, that's mostly over trees, not houses. So it's like not even a particularly good ROI, but people make billions of dollars like sending, you know, selling these devices, that there's misaligned incentives around pay. There's generally like NIMBYism about smoke. I mean, when I was growing up in Montana, we also talked about fire season because it's like when things would burn naturally. Now, to be clear, it is not – nobody was doing enough prescribed burning there either. But I honestly – I had kind of a little tantrum because it is very true. Like, you know that I more than anybody am into the topic of climate change. It has changed. It is real. But I get a little frustrated when I see, you know, the governor of California being like, this is climate change. Climate change is real. This is just 100%. And I'm like, this is not 100% climate change. This is also people who don't want to do prescribed burns. They're afraid they'll get out of control. People complain about the smoke. We don't want to spend the money. Like, there's a whole bunch of reasons.
But that doesn't fit in a soundbite, right? That's the catch.
In it.
Yeah.
And we're in it. And now, even if we started prescribed burns, for one thing, the non-fire season is now officially so short that people aren't exactly even sure when they would do it, thanks to climate change.
Yeah.
And there's so much unburned brush just in California that it's unlikely to happen. All of this is going to get so much worse. And it's like 50-year-old settled science.
And we are, by the way, just in the beginning of fire season. That's the part that kills me. I'm like, we're like 2 weeks into it, man.
Oh, yeah. Just started.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was not, I mean, last year, I didn't have to put on my N95 until October. The year before that, it was November. This year, it was August. And we know how to prevent this. Like, this is just a, I feel like 2020 is a story of, like, things we definitely knew how to prevent and just didn't want to.
Kay.
Hence,
Kay.
Big glasses of tequila. Such a big pour.
I notice it's plural now. Okay. So I'm going to do mine. It's a little reprise, I can never get it right, of an item I had earlier with a tag-along question, and that is this whole thing that the president did with the payroll tax deferral. And again, it's a deferral because the taxes are still due. But Richard Rubin, who writes for the Wall Street Journal, had a really good tweet today in which he was asked this question. If the payroll tax deferral in 2021 gets an act passed where they waive having to pay it back, right, where Congress actually says, you know what, we let you not pay this, and now you don't have to forever, what happens to those who opted out? In other words, what happens to the people whose company said, no, 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 we're going to still keep taking that tax because it's due, right? What happens? And that's not just like a couple of companies. It's big bleeping companies, right? It's companies like CVS and Wells Fargo and bunches of those, right? The Postal Service, all of those are not doing this deferral thing. And so what's going to happen to their employees when, as is actually entirely possible, Congress decides to let people keep the money that Congress said they didn't have to pay, right? And wow. Richard Rubin's answer, which is a straight up legit one, was great question. Depends how Congress writes it. They could just offer it to those who deferred or go broader. Could be a messy political choice. Yes, it could. And I just, I guess here's what this is, right? Because look, this is a news story. We've talked about it a couple of times. I've beaten the president up about it. And I think it's just a bad policy decision because, oh my God, Social Security. But also, it's just a sign of my irritability that I keep coming back to this thing. I'm just generally irritated right now. I'm irritated about the weather. I'm irritated about politics. I'm irritated that I can't have a beer. I'm irritated about a lot of things. And that just kind of got me.
It's funny how there are some stories like that that are just like your own personal hangnail.
Yeah. Yeah. For, yes,
like the
exactly
one that
right.
you just can't stop that's being exactly mad
right.
about. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I see
it's
you.
Just so irritating.
And
you're like, come on,
well,
man.
It's because it's an utter failure of governing.
Yeah.
Like, it should never come to the president having to make what appears to be a politically expedient executive order that he in no way has the authority to make that is poorly thought out at best because Congress just, like, didn't show up.
I don't think you need to say it appears to be politically driven. I mean, come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, all politically. Right. Okay. Like, right. fully. Okay. I put in appears right. in the totally wrong place. Let's be clear. Yeah, this is just, like, a PR stunt gone horrifically wrong that is going to have actual financial implications on people trying to retire, everybody who works for the federal government, every company. Like, this is not how governing should happen, and this is actually why we have a better system that we wrote down a long time ago, and even though we could probably use some updates, like, that's one of the things that should be working better, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Bob Woodward.
All right. Charlton, if you could put down your beer for a minute and hit that button, that'd be all right. There you go. We caught you before you had too many, right? sorry, I'm just a little bitter. All right, so look, I'm going to fess up right here. I do not have a make me smile because nothing struck me. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is what it is. I'm okay with that. Everybody else, so everybody else has to be okay with that too.
If you want it as a bonus, I just pasted in the one that a bunch of people sent us today about the little boy, the little 2-year-old boy with a cleft lip.
Oh, I missed
it. And then they found a puppy with a cleft lip. Like the guy just
happened. Oh, that's amazing.
And it's so awesome. Like his dad just happened to show up at the shelter and there happened to be this puppy that had just come in from 1,000 miles away that had a cleft lip. And they were like, oh, this puppy's not going to get adopted. And the guy was there for chickens. Like, he wasn't even looking for a dog. And then he was like, oh, my God, we have to get this puppy. And then the little boy who's already had, like, 3 surgeries was like, the puppy looks like me. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's
I didn't
so
put
cute.
It in okay. because I was like, I'm going to cry, which
oh, man.
I'm working on now.
That's awesome. That is a good
but
one.
But, yeah, that one.
That's a good
that
one.
That one is my gift
so Tony, to you. Tony put it on the show page. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Look at that.
It
Bentley,
is.
Bentley Boyers and his
delightful.
New puppy. Oh, that's so cute.
Plus, oh my God, the pictures are so cute. And then they already have a dog that's like a great, like a bull mastiff, like a huge one. And then all 3 of them take naps on the dog bed? Like the baby and the puppy and the bull. Oh my God. Dogs.
That's awesome.
My actual one is on topic.
Yes.
On the topic of fires. There was a good policy thing in California today, which I don't know if people realize, but prison inmates do a lot of firefighting in California.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of messed up when you consider how much actual firefighters make. But what then was happening for decades is that these inmates, you know, who committed nonviolent offenses, probably lots of people who were in there for like weed, do all of this work as inmates, but then they get out and they have federal records records,
mm-hmm.
prison records, and can't get hired as firefighters, which is insane. So Governor Newsom just today signed a law that allows inmate firefighters in California to have their records expunged so that they can then become professional firefighters once they're released from prison.
That's cool.
And that is a wrong-righted.
Yeah.
Yep. And that is a good one, because fire is my topic today, including fire in the belly, thanks to my large glass of tequila.
She is themed inside and out, ladies and gentlemen.
I love a theme.
Mollywood on a Friday. Theme. How about that? Oh, my lordy be. That was good. That was good.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. Puppy
good
pictures.
Good stuff. We got fires and puppy pictures and a little tequila. We're done. We're done. That's us on a Friday.
That's it.
Everybody stay healthy this weekend. Stay good. If you live in the fire zone, stay inside. Wear your masks.
Stay inside.
All that good stuff.
I know. It's like the worst thing ever for us to tell you to stay inside. I have committed to learning with my child how to play Counter-Strike Go. Not
really.
No, not a language, not some gardening. We're not going to bake any bread.
What is Counter-Strike Go?
We're going to play Counter-Strike Go, a very violent video game, until until I can get a headshot without aim help. That's the plan. See you Monday.
See you Monday. We're out of here. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Rose Collin, who once again is probably saying, what am I doing
Tony done?
Wagner
what have I done?
Is our digital producer. We're at an old-fashioned today for some reason. I don't even know. He also put a little pumpkin spice whiskey in the Slack channel, about which no. Ben Hethcote produces video, along with the hardest working intern in show business, Ethan Parrott. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, also those skills on your smart speakers. She does those too.
Shout out to those of you giving shout outs to Ethan Parrott in the YouTube chat today. And thanks for joining us. Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. It's all about the cast, friends. Yeah. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner, and the executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves. We have not been disavowed yet, so congratulations on another successful week.
There you go. There you go.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.